الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to postures of namaz, yesterday we discussed that when we lift our hands for takbir-e-tahreema and for the shawafi, for all the others, it should be like this, facing Qibla, until we don't pair up. Who has paired up with somebody? What do we mean? All pairing up with one and a Musa. Prophet Muhammad. Only two couples. Huh? It's very difficult to make our islah like this, because a person, he tends, for example, he puts his hand like this and he doesn't know, unless there is somebody to tell him and somebody that he can accept. Otherwise we make lot of mistakes and we can't see our own mistakes. A person and human nature, you like to feel you are correct, until you don't have somebody sincere and for the benefit of deen, for deen, for our akhirat, for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's sake, we should try and pair up with somebody, and then we will see how we will be perhaps surprised also. If we are genuine about it, we will be surprised. So anyway, we should lift our hands facing the Qibla and try and become conscious of it. Otherwise, we do it in very many different ways. The other, we explained about fasting the hands already. The other hands that we have to keep is when we go in ruku. And also one important thing, what we are explaining here is from the Hanafi point of view, and in the Ahnaf also there are many ulama that got different views. What we have learned from our elders, our sheikh, particularly our sheikh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimahumullah, Allah reward Hazrat tremendously, he taught us on many occasions practical namaz also. So we have learned that practical namaz, and Hazrat, many ulama are of the opinion that Hazrat knows Shami, which is the main Hanafi fatwa kitab off by heart, and also Mirqat, Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali's kitab, because the way Hazrat quotes from there. I asked Hazrat once, his Hazrat said, Allah's great fazl on me, that just what I need, where are my hands just open there and I find what I want there. So anyway, so Hazrat had very thorough knowledge of fiqh also. Once I told Hazrat about something, and then Hazrat said, that doesn't that person read Shami? In Shami the masala is so clear, and that is the basic kitab which most of our muftis use today. They use our present day muftis works also, but otherwise they go to Shami. That is the most basic kitab which they use to give their fatwas. So in there it is written. So this, what we are explaining, is from the Hanafi point of view, and what we learn from our sheikh. Also our sheikh, rahmatullah alayhi, on one occasion, with regard to the two sunnats of Fajr, he said it is advisable, better to perform it in the masjid. And then he explained Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi's whole explanation. Since I've touched on it, let me just complete it also. He explained that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam definitely performed his sunnats of Fajr at home. And that was that his masjid, his house, his room, his rooms were adjoined to the masjid. And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu should go and call Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that namaz is now ready to start. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should walk from his house, from his room, directly onto the Imam's Musalla and start with namaz. He shouldn't sit down first. Like we normally, if we go for Fajr, if we make our sunnats at home, we usually go, perhaps we are on time, but seldom exactly, we synchronize it exactly, that when Jamaat is going to stand up, otherwise we are a few minutes earlier, so we sit down. In which case, we must have our two sunnats of Tahiyyatul Masjid. And if you make your two sunnats in the masjid, you get your Tahiyyatul Masjid also. And then there was one hadith that somebody was circulating from a Darul Ifta, that was called to the virtues of making the two sunnats at home. But then it was found that hadith was not sahih. that after the people who are more experts in hadith, that hadith was not sahih. So then Hazrat told, this is Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi's tahqiq. We follow Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi. Who wishes to follow can follow. Who wants to do their own thing may do their own thing. And the worst thing also, so this is for the Hanafis and for the man, not for the woman. The woman, there is, I don't know if it has started. So Maulana Abdul Rahman's family did do it for, I think, Maulana Asif's family. So if anyone, they can discuss and try and get it done for them. The ladies can also see, for the ladies namaz is different. Also, this is not basically the Shawafi way of doing. Then we have Malikis also. I do ask Maulana Umair now and then he tells us what is the Shafi way. But this is basically the Hanafi way and what we have learned from our Mashayikh. My Ustad, when I was in primary madrasa, Maulana Ahmed Behra Sahib, and then Hazrat Hakim Sahib, the Ahmed Barakatum, he taught us many times practical namaz. So on this we are basing it. Those who have their own views may do it, and those who have made, Google their sheikh and their imam, and go and Google everything and follow that, that is up to them. But if they want to follow that and see how to do the different things. But what we are saying is from our elders, who we have got 100% trust on, who we have seen in and out, day and night, public and private life, on Safar and on Hazar, they are true, genuine Allah wala. And we follow their, we try to follow their way. So it is up to everyone. So anyway, so the next posture that we will discuss today is when we go in ruku and we place our hands on our knees. Then they should be, this is one place where the fingers must be spread wide open as possible. The fingers must be spread as wide open as possible. When going in ruku, then hold the knees tight, clasp them properly. Most probably for the ladies, they just put their hands on. And they don't bend fully down also. But for men, we bend fully down and we clasp the knees. So that is how the ruku. That is one place where the fingers have to be spread out completely. And we explained that in sajda, the fingers must be placed completely together. Unless a person had some fracture or something and so the fingers are not meeting. The bones are now, something went wrong. But otherwise, the fingers must be on and facing towards Qibla. And when saying Takbir, Allahu Akbar, then they just leave it normal. Don't take the care of keeping them together. Don't take the care of separating them. Just as your habit is. According to your habit, you just lift it up. But do try and take care that your thumbs are in line with the lobes of your ears. And if they touch the lobes, even better. So this we should try and keep in mind, inshallah, to correct and perfect our namaz, at least outwardly, which is not too difficult. And if we will do the outward, it will have an effect on the inside. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. As far as the Quran Sharif, which we were discussing, yesterday we discussed about having iman on Quran Sharif. So that is one aspect on the whole Quran, that every Muslim says that I've got iman on the Quran Sharif, that it is the commands of Allah, the word of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's word, that is Quran Sharif. And very important also, which we have to be very careful today, with all the propaganda and Google is open to everyone. You just type in what you want and what sites you get. You don't know who's that person on that site, whose site it is, what are his beliefs, etc. So the words and the meaning is what is Quran Sharif. The word which Allah had revealed and the meaning which Allah had meant, that is Quran Sharif. So that is very important. And we will read in Fazail the Quran, to be a mufassir, to make tafsir of the Quran, how many sciences of Arabic we need in order to be able to make tafsir, round about 15. A person must be expert in all those sciences, then he has the right to make tafsir. So that is very, very important, otherwise a person makes grave mistakes. So that is one aspect, and for that we must follow a righteous alim. who is righteous, and we follow that righteous on him. Otherwise, we will definitely be derailed. We will go off track, and also just like if we like a pilot who's piloting a plane, and if he's just 1 degree off from the airport he has to land at, where I don't know where he will go and land, over 7,000 kilometers, 10,000 kilometers, if he's 1 degree off, he'll go and land somewhere else. He won't land at that airport. So you have to be spot on. So just like that also, with all our Messiah, with our Anim, a reliable, good Anim. And this is that our heart tells us, and be very careful who we choose as our Sheikh also, who we choose as our Alim for our Messiah. Preferably have a Mufti. That is preferable, because, and a Mufti who is engaged with fatwa work all the time. His work is fresh. A person who did iftar 20 years ago and didn't give one fatwa over 20 years. He never made murajaat, he never opened kitabs, he never looked at the masala. He became a Mufti, but he didn't, was not in touch for 20 years, 10 years, whatever the case may be. His ilm won't be that fresh also. But a Mufti who is engaged on a day-to-day basis, and is checking up, and he's replying to questions, etc., his ilm will be fresh. Also, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Haki Muhammad Akhtar Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, for Masail, used to tell the Murids also, refer to your Mufti. Yeah, for suluk, for reaching Allah Ta'ala, those masalas you ask, yeah. But as far as masail are concerned, fiqhi masail, that has to do with jurisprudence, because the Shaykh also is not in touch with all the masail all the time. And like that it is, we think it's easy to know a masala. But when we find out, there are so many juziyats which are known. Just by a small little point, the whole masala changes completely. So a person who is well into that, especially the masail about inheritance, that also you have to ask a Mufti, and a Mufti who is dealing with inheritance masail on a regular basis, he will be able to tell you. Because there also, the juziyats, the small little differences, there are a lot of things that changes the whole masala. One small thing, and it changes the whole masala. We had a case where our whole inheritance things had to be worked out from our grandfather. Afterwards it came to be known that one person's name was left out. And that changed the whole, and it was a thing that took them about 6 months to work out. From where to where, and their children and their children. It's a very, very intricate thing. And just this one little addition that came, and it changed the whole scenario again. Everyone's shares got changed, which an ordinary alim generally will not be in a position to do. You need a Mufti, and a Mufti who is in that field all the time, who is working on it. So masail also, and yeah, what is very important, ask your be sincere to yourself. That you think this one will lead me to the pleasure of Allah. He will teach me my true deen. Not somebody who will give masalas in my favor. Not somebody that I give regular hadiah to. And then so in turn he is going to also give me my masalas. That is, then those hadiahs, many people, they give what they call hadiah, but it's a bribe actually. That when they ask a masala, they want it according to their wishes. And this person has been giving you all the time. How can you give him something now which doesn't suit him? So you also have to melt for that person. You have to become mild. So that should not be the case. But genuinely in your heart you feel this person will tell me the correct masala, whether I like it or not. And if we are sincere with ourselves, whether we like it or not, we will accept that masala. So that is one thing. And as far as possible, completely shun Google and going on to masail and becoming an alim of your own making. And in your mind you think you're a great allama and you know masail. You are shaitan. Shaitan doesn't even have to work on you. When you have made yourself into shaitan. And so don't go on to all this. And today we are not living in a rare place, some remote place in the world where there are no ulama around, where you cannot get in touch, you don't know who to, how many ulama. And how many genuine and good ulama and muftis we have got all around us, who are sincere, genuine, whose knowledge is toast, whose knowledge is reliable 100%. And we go on to we should shun that Google completely. And going on and finding out masail and acting like we are big allamas, we should try and completely avoid that. Yeah, the ulama who are referring to the kitabs and who are telling us, and we can explain them our position exactly how it is. And also, just to give you an idea, this happened very, very long ago in lands in Jami Masjid. And my ustad, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, they asked him to perform the nikah. And our family people, there was a divorce matter carrying on. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib had given the fatwa already that divorce has taken place. But these people also, who were alims of their own making, and in fact, they were good people, pious people who printed kitabs, and which is because they're printing a kitab, they wrote Maulana so and so. They were no alims or anything. So they thought they knew a lot. So when Mufti Sahib was there, they thought they'll corner him, and they'll put him on his place, so to say. So this person who gave the divorce, he was a bit mentally, he had a mental condition. So they said that a mental person who is mentally not all right, if he gave talaq, talaq doesn't take place. So Mufti Sahib called for him. He came, Mufti Sahib asked that your in-laws, where do they stay? So he said the town they stay in. He said that how did you give the talaq? He said over the telephone. So then Mufti Sahib asked that on the telephone, if you dial any number, it will go to your in-laws place, or they have to be specific numbers. So he said specific numbers, you can't just dial any number and it will go there. So Mufti Sahib asked him, did you dial or did you ask your mother to dial, your sister, your brother? He said, I dialed myself. So he said, who came on the phone when you phoned? He said, my sister-in-law, ex-sister-in-law. So he said, did you give her talaq? No. Then who did she call? She called her mother. Did you give her talaq? No. Then who did you call? Your wife. You gave her talaq. So Mufti Sahib said, a person whose mental capacity is to that extent, he's not an exception. Right. And if a divorce takes place. Now if you don't go into all this, we got these people personally. So shun all this. Don't think you are too clever and you are going onto Google and onto this website and that Mufti Sahib's website and that Mufti Sahib's website. If Darul Iftas also have different opinion, and they have their right. But you will get lost as a layman. You ask one Mufti and stick to one Mufti and be sincere to yourself that this I am convinced. He is right, he is sincere, his knowledge is correct also, and he is a reliable person, and then you follow him. And as far as the going to Allah, as far as the path, suluk towards Allah, have a sheikh who you are convinced with. If at any time our sheikh should make this announcement quite a few times, that if you feel that your mufti is not right, something you have discovered, you feel is not right, then change your mufti. Go to one who is sincere. If you feel your sheikh is not right, then change your sheikh also. There is no harm in it. But don't be a rolling stone. That's it. Just for your own nafs sake. Now you've gone to this sheikh, there you saw something, there you saw something. No. But when you genuinely feel that really, and if a murid comes to you and tells you that I wish to break, he first of all, it's not necessary for him to come, and better not to come. Who you feel is better, quietly you go and become bayat and you take your benefit. You don't have to inform your old sheikh also. Because he's also human, he might feel hurt, which he shouldn't, but he's human after all. And he should give permission gladly, and Hazrat should announce many times, whoever had become bayat to me, and he feels now that he there is somebody better, or he has made a mistake, by all means I give him full permission to go to somebody else. So that is the case. So we should see who we think is genuine and we follow that person. And for masail also we should follow that. Otherwise we will keep on changing and there will be nothing. The minute we go out of somebody's reins, a horse that is not harnessed, and it's not in somebody's control, that horse will do all funny things. A car, as long as it is under control, you can be driving at 180 kilometers per hour, 200, but it's under control, inshallah you shouldn't have a problem. But if you are driving at 50, 40 kilometers per hour, but it's out of control, then you are standing in great, great danger. So if we also go with our deen, we don't have the control on our deen. And that control has to be from somebody who knows about deen. So always, don't ever make this mistake, otherwise you will land yourself in total destruction. And shaitan will make you think, this is where the Salafis went wrong. That they feel they don't need a guide. In Masail also, we, especially those who know Arabic, we know Quran Sharif, and how many mistakes they make, and grave mistakes they make. And as far as tasawwuf also is concerned, a person who just read up one, two kitabs and thinks he can guide himself and guide other people, that personal touch, Allah kept it so much in order that Allah Ta'ala, every Nabi, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to come. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to teach the deen to them. That sohbat. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the very first meeting, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam embraced him and told Iqra, and he conveyed everything into him in there. And so that was, and not once only. And regularly Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to come. So you need this all the time. If you don't have that, Allah's fazal, I never stayed without a sheikh. When I came into my consciousness, I became bay'at. When my first sheikh passed away, I became bay'at again. When he passed away, I became bay'at again. So have a sheikh always. That is the safest route to go. To have a sheikh, the du'as of the sheikh, the tawajjuh of the sheikh, you might have a more greater liking for a particular sheikh, that's quite in order, but have a sheikh over you. And as far as masail are also concerned, never ever make Google your imam and your mufti. Have a mufti that you refer to. Alhamdulillah, many masail I have to ask also. And I ask regularly from our mufti Darul Ifta. I don't just take it out of my own. And from my experience I have seen that though alhamdulillah Allah gave us the opportunity to study under ustads and things, but there are so many what we call juziyat, those small little things that change the whole picture of a masala, and we are not aware of those things. The ordinary person, even an ordinary alim, won't be aware. A person who is well grounded in that, he will be able to. And many times when muftis also discuss, there are such points that come out that that they learn from one another and they benefit from one another. So anyway, so our postures of namaz, today we discussed that when the men go in ruku, then spread your fingers out and clasp your knees properly in a nice solid way. Don't just put them lightly down. They must be clasped properly. And for women, they should find out from women, from the Shawafi, what is it here? Also the same. Also the same, you must clasp your hands on your knees. Hold your knees properly. Further, with regard to the Quran Sharif, that we have to have iman on the whole Quran, and that one point that we had discussed, that it is the Allah Ta'ala Quran, with the words, the word which Allah had sent down, and the meaning, that is Quran Sharif. And we must abide by it 100% without any reservation. And further, every ayat also we should have iman. Those ayats, Manana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, may Allah reward him, what uloom he has left for us. He said that, and what an alim he was. And what knowledge Allah had blessed him. He said, I understand, alhamdulillah, the vast majority of deen. But I also, there are certain things I don't understand. And what I don't understand, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. That those who are well grounded in knowledge, they accept everything from Allah. You don't understand it, but you accept it. That Allah Ta'ala himself, nobody can fathom Allah. And if you think you can fathom, and you're the biggest mufassir in the Quran, give the meaning of Alif Lam Mim. Give the meaning of Ha Mim. Give the meaning of Ta Ha. Who can give the meaning? Allah proved it to you right from the beginning. Your knowledge won't take you anywhere. So, but we accept it. It's Allah's kalam. There are many ayat which are called mutashabihat, where the meanings can be interpreted differently. We don't, the best is we don't give any action. What Allah means, that is what we accept. Finish. That is the end of the story. What Allah Ta'ala's meaning is on that, we accept it. So Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, I opened up two accounts, imaginary accounts. One of all that which I understand is in that account. And what I don't understand, I've put in one account of all the things I don't understand. And he says, many times then Allah Ta'ala makes me understand a certain thing which till today I didn't understand. The wisdom behind it, the reasoning behind it, why it must be done. The day I understand, I transfer it from that account to this account. Now this is also something I understand. So nobody can say that I understand everything. That is only Allah Ta'ala. And Allah is the Kalam, Quran Sharif is Kalam-i-Mu'jiz. That is Mu'jiza. And also Mu'jiz which makes you helpless. As I explained, when the surah Inna Aatayna was put on the door of the Kaaba Sharif, from it was Mu'jiz. Finished. After that, no Arab till today put up any of his writing. This has made us helpless. Allah's Kalam is that. Hafiz the Quran, he can read the whole Quran. But I don't know that way he did not slip up somewhere. Somewhere or the other, it makes you. There was Imam Ismail from Cape Town. Those days when they should read from Alam Tara, where there were hardly Huffaz, very few. In the Kirk Street Masjid in Johannesburg, they should get the Imams from Cape Town to come and recite. He recited the whole Quran Sharif without a mistake. And he is the one first South African known to me and generally who had permission to make Maghrib Namaz in the Haram of Makkah. Imamat. Otherwise nobody else, as far as my knowledge is concerned, a South African got the permission. His Tajweed, his Qiraat, his Quran Sharif, he was of great, great caliber and standard. So he had the certain families who loved them for their Quran Sharif. Those days were the real Quran or the reels, not even cassettes. Now it's CDs and MP3s and all that. Then it was cassettes before that, and before that was on the reel. They should lock that whole Quran Sharif of his, where they locked their most valuable things. So much they treasured his Quran Sharif. So anyway, whole Quran Sharif he read. But when he came to Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, he just couldn't move. He got stuck. There he got stuck. This is Kalam-e Mu'jiz. Nobody can beat the Quran Sharif. The Quran will beat everyone. One good friend of ours who is still living, and he was such also, what a memory Allah gave him. Whole year he wouldn't read Quran Sharif. And for Taraweeh, he'll just glance over it, and he knows it. And he will go and without a mistake, without a stuck, without a... But in Alhamdu Sharif he got stuck. He just couldn't move in Alhamdu. So this is Quran Sharif. So anyway, so we must, the Quran, that the word of Allah and the meaning which Allah has said, that is Quran Sharif. And then which is very important also with the computers and this Google business and at universities and all that, that the ayats of certain ayats where people have taken out completely wrong meanings. So that we have to be very, very careful. If you don't believe in one ayat, it is tantamount, it is equal that you don't believe in the whole Quran. Your whole iman is negated. If you don't believe in one Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, one Rasul of Allah, it is equal to not believing in any Rasul there. Because every Rasul has testified to the truth of every other Rasul and every other Nabi. Every ayat, if we don't believe in one ayat, today, with the modern system and that capital punishment for adultery, you must be stoned to death if they are married people. Otherwise, if they are unmarried, 100 lashes, and we call it barbaric, and we say we don't accept that as part of the Quran teaching. Or, for example, any other teaching of the Quran, inheritance, interest. Today, interest has become a major thing. So all this, we have to be very, very careful about these things. As far as interest is concerned, Mufti Saeed Palanpuri, who is the Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul Uloom Deoband, his answer appeals very much to a person. When they question him about bank, Islamic banking, etc., he says, don't go further. The very foundation of banking is interest. Whether it's Islamic banking, they have to bank with the other banks. The four major banks in the world, they have to bank with one of them. And you get involved in interest. And he says, when interest, the Quran has declared it completely haram, then it's out of the question, it's the end of the story. So don't even talk to me any further with regard to that. So this is those things which are clear cut, and what is in the Quran Sharif, a person must accept it as that. Our weakness, if you haven't got that strength in your iman, you take out insurance policy, just to give you a glimpse of that also. When I returned from India, from my marhum father's inheritance, I inherited the car, and my marhum father used to have third party insurance. In the case of an accident, they won't fix your car, they'll fix the other car. So when I inherited, the insurance came with. I phoned Mufti Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, my ustad, and I asked him. So he asked me, for who are you asking the masala? For yourself or for somebody else? I said, for myself. He said, for you it's not permissible. Then he said, if it's somebody else, for example, a person who has to go to work by car, a person who is a rep, and he needs his car to travel all the time, and he's not really religious conscious, he's not in deen as such, and you give him a big lecture that Allah will protect you, insurance is haram, don't take out insurance, and he responds to you, and he meets up with an accident. And now he will lose his iman. Because he will say, Allah, I didn't take out you. And many people stay like this. I take out my zakat regularly. I read my ayatul kursi. Why didn't Allah help me? A person loses his iman like that. And what it is, if Allah meant something to take place, it's going to take place. And don't bargain with Allah Ta'ala. That I don't take out insurance, now because of that you must protect my property. No, we don't take out insurance because Allah has made it haram, and that's the end of the story. Finish. Now if Allah still wants to test us, or Allah is punishing us for some guna of ours, that's a different story. Or if Allah wants to test us, that's a different story. But we must abide by the laws of Allah. We mustn't bargain. I'm reading so many wazifas. How much more sabr must I make now? I'm finished. I'm tired of making sabr. I can't make more sabr. No, we are the slaves of Allah. And a slave is one who works without pay. That is the meaning of a slave who works for you. He gets no pay whatsoever. And he's got no time for himself. All his time belongs to his master. Everything, I'm not talking of a worker, a servant, I'm talking of a slave. And we are, then what that slave is to his master, we are more than that, slaves of Allah. That master didn't make that slave. He didn't give him his eyes. He didn't give him his strength. Allah has given us, we are 100% the slaves of Allah. And our work is just to do whatever because it's command of Allah and to please Allah. Really also, Hazrat Rabia Basariya, rahimahullah, she says that, oh Allah, if I worship you for Jannah, deprive me of Jannah. And I worship you to get saved from Jahannam, throw me into Jahannam. But if I worship you for your pleasure, that is the very high. May Allah grant for us. It is permissible. We do things for sawab. And that is why so many sawabs. And we are commercial people. Even our deen, we have commerce. That there are so much of sawabs in this, so much sawabs in that. That has got more sawab. That has got more sawab. The thing is, like our buzurgs, Allahu Akbar. What buzurgs Allah blessed us. The last two rakats after Isha, there is always this question, is it better to read it sitting or standing? That it comes that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit and read it. So our buzurg say that even if we get less sawab, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we will sit and make it. That is looking at the pleasure, not looking at the prophet. We looking at prophet. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, don't be like some people that everything just depends on rents and cents, on monetary gain. But do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah must be happy. Whether then you difficulty comes to you, hardship comes to you, whatever. Like Hazrat Shaykh al-Islam, Maulana Hussain Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah Ali's great daughter, great lady, she wrote all what her thoughts were, she penned it down. In that she writes also that what I do for Allah, oh Allah, let me not wait then for barakat. let me not wait then for rahmat. I do it for your pleasure. Even if a difficulty, sickness comes after that, no problem. We must not ask for that. We are too weak. We should ask for afiyat, for well-being, that things must go easy. And it is permissible that we do it for sawab. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali went to this extent and said, inform the people of the amal by which you get dunya's benefits. Like Jazaul Amal we are reading, in which your actions, which dunya's benefits you get. Even that is alright. That will also, if we carry on, hopefully inshallah, we reach that stage. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali has written, it's a very high stage that we do things only for the pleasure of Allah. Every split moment of mine, inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alameen. La sharika lahu wa bidhalika umirtu wa ana awwalul muslimin. I've totally submitted myself. That's a very high stage. May Allah bless us and we reach that before maut, that we reach that total submission to Allah. That whatever we do, we don't wait for anything. We don't we don't do a business with Allah. We don't do a sale with Allah Ta'ala. I make ibadat, you give me sawab. No, we do it just for the pleasure of Allah. Then whatever Allah wants to do. And those that Allah really loves, Allah imbues them with that tolerance. And then Allah puts also tests and trials. And they enjoy it. Imam Abu Hanifa, Allahu Akbar. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. We can't imagine what and what Hazrat Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anha. What and what Hazrat Ammara radiyallahu ta'ala anha. What they went through. And just because of the iman and the conviction on deen. So today at universities, schools, the things which are going around, on this Google business, what is going around, our iman is much at stake. That now we are indoctrinated that Quran, Islam is an old-fashioned. You need Islam, it needs a facelift. It has to be uplifted, upgraded now. Like that one person, who from the countryside came to the city, and they went into a shopping mall. They went into a big business, and there the old man saw that the wall opened up, and he saw that an old lady went into the wall, and he was shocked. What happened here? Just the wall opened up, and a woman went in, and I staring there. After a while, that wall opened up again, and a young lady came out. So he told his little grandson, go and call Oma. The old lady, bring her quickly, let her stand also in here. That here they have this also, that you just go, the door, wall opens up, you go in, and then you come out young. So Islam is not old. That was just a lift. An old lady went and a young woman came out. So Islam, we don't have to give Islam a facelift. And we don't have to upgrade Islam. There is nothing as modern as Islam is. There is nothing as modern and fresh as Quran Sharif is. A flower also withers away. A young girl, 17, 16, 18, what she is. And then she also at the age of 80, what is she like? A man also, a young boy, what he is. And at the age of 60, 70, what he becomes. But the Quran Sharif is as fresh as it was revealed. And the Quran Sharif and Islam is as fresh as it was when it came down. So our 100% iman on that same Quran Sharif, that we don't have to change it. You are getting married, and you bought your shoes, but your wife sends you nowadays on WhatsApp. You must take a picture and send her what shoes you're going to wear on wedding day. She doesn't like it. Now you went and buy last minute a pair of shoes, but now unfortunately they didn't have the right size. The shoe you bought is a bit too tight for you. Now the wise thing to do, you have to make your wife happy, your wife to be. So you must chop off your toes. That is the right thing to do. That is today's thinking. We all laugh at it, but that is all what we are doing, and the top academics are doing that. To chop and to change our religion to suit the people of the world, to suit the wife of the world, that people must be happy. So we chop a little bit of our toes, the big toe, the small toes, we chop them. We know that can never happen. We can't chop and trim Islam to suit modern days. Hey, modern days will have to fit into Islam. Islam doesn't fit into there. Whether now, today we say, oh, but so much little latitude they should give. Islam should allow this little bit. Why so strict in this year? Yeah, this little bit latitude. But whatever Allah's command is, whoever follows the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, all say radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, where they reached, with how they stuck, of the Sahaba, whether it was Hazrat Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, or Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. His namaz, though he had 100, he had an eye operation, 100% permission that he could sit and read it. He said, I won't make one rakat away from the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What devotion they had. Whereas it was 100% permissible. There was nothing like that. Our great Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, he lost his eyesight in old age. People insisted that he must, because his knowledge what he had. But what he said, that Allah has taken it away, and Allah made it easy. What I didn't want to see, now Allah made it, I've got no choice of seeing it anymore. What I had, what of choice I had to lower my gazes and I didn't want to look. Now, and in those days, there was no beparadagi also. If a woman was, hardly she came out of her house. If she did, she would be in full proper parda. That loose outer garments, not the tight fitting, etc. And that also very rarely. But he says, Allah saved me from all that also. So these were those people. So try and adhere, at least we can find enjoyment in thinking about them, in how they sacrificed for deen, how they worked for deen. Today we are in a different kettle of fish. We are completely different, or completely who they were. So anyway, so the Quran Sharif, every ayat, and also together with that, we believe and accept it. If I can't make amal, it's my weakness. But I don't justify myself. I don't try and prove myself right. I am wrong. May Allah forgive me, please. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "Kunna naf'alu wa nastaghfiru." Where they were forced into something, we used to had to do it. Toilets, they went to foreign countries when Islam expanded so much. Toilets were built towards the direction of the Qibla. Then they say, but we should make istighfar. We weren't justifying it. So this is an attitude. But now doesn't mean we just take this, like Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he said, if you are feeling sleepy and you are reading Quran Sharif, then close your Quran Sharif and sleep away. Many of us only know this one malfuz of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah, that whenever we take the Quran, we hardly read half a page, I'm feeling sleepy. No, Maulana Thanvi said, you must close it and you must go and sleep. No, we don't take undue advantage like this, that now we just do anything and everything and we just make istighfar. In any case, make istighfar. But as far as possible, we are weak, 100%, extremely weak. But try and do adhere to Shariat as much as we can. And for that, it is absurd. The minute you start taking two people's views and you see which is the easier one, you start going more and more out. And it has been proven historically, people who gave up the taqleed of the Imams and they just followed them, that any Imams you can follow. We are still within Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. Soon they went out of Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat. And soon they went out of the fold of Islam also. So the more you are harnessed and kept in order, the more safer it is. May Allah give us tawfiq. Anyway, that was still, we just on the first point, and we have to cover up quite a bit. The second point and the second demand of the Quran Sharif is love of the Quran and respect of the Quran Sharif. And in that, one thing which we should try and get used to, never just say Quran, Quran-e-Kareem, Quran Sharif, have the respect and show the love for it. Don't just say Quran. Or bring the Quran, take the Quran. No, try and add the word Sharif, Kareem, or any other word, but show the love and respect for it. That is important. The Quran Sharif, as far as possible, don't try and handle it with one hand also, only. Try and, with two hands, like with respect and honor. Though you can easily carry 3-4 Quran Sharifs with one hand. But as far as possible. Sometimes it becomes difficult, but as far as possible. And as far as possible, the right hand. Use the right hand. The left hand, we use it for so many other dirty works. Try and avoid using the left hand. Where you have to, you use it. It's parked, you washed it, it's clean. But try and use the right hand. Also, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was an ashik of the Quran Sharif, whose life was devoted to Quran Sharif and to sunnats or ihya'i sunnat, known as Muhiyyus Sunnah, who made sunnats alive, so many sunnats. So he taught that the Quran Sharif, cover the Quran Sharif. Many of us, we don't cover the Quran Sharif. We should cover it. We were born without clothes. But the first thing they did, they covered us. And the clothes they put on for didn't stay for whole life. They kept on changing it also, washing it also. So that do we put the cover on the Quran? That is now for life. It gets torn and tattered. We're just using it like that. Allah Ta'ala's great fadl. In round about the 70s, what I know, in our masjids also, the Haramain also, the masjid Quran Sharif, you would find lot of torn and torn, tattered Quran Sharif, not looked after. In our masjid, you would open any shelf, drawer of a masjid, it was in a chaotic state. But Alhamdulillah, Allah's fazal, Allah is turning His mercy towards us. Look at the Haramain Sharifain, how the Quran Sharifs are kept. There is no dust, but they are regularly dusted. They are regularly packed properly. The people put them, many people put them how they should be put. But there are appointed people who will come and make sure that they are put correctly. Everywhere, our masjids nowadays, those people who have printed the Quran Sharif, Fatifal Islamic Institute, and they have sent the Quran Sharif, the 13 line one, throughout the world. And everywhere it is, people, Alhamdulillah, Allah has given great interest. Otherwise, before, Quran Sharif didn't have this. In fact, I read one article, a stage came like that on Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif, where there was a Quran Taraweeh, Alam Tara Taraweeh. In the Haram of Makkah and in the Haram of Medina Sharif. That was the time then Allah Ta'ala sent the Quran Sharif to India and mainly the Panipat area. And till today, perhaps without exaggeration, every Imam of the Haramain Sharifain, directly or indirectly, is a student of the great Qurra of Panipat. Till today, they Allah blessed them, and there they the Quran Sharif, and today Quran Sharif, how much it is alive. Now in Ramadan, Allahu Akbar, every town, how many Taraweehs? Before to find one Taraweeh, Quran Sharif was a big question. Today, so Hafiz to find the place is a problem. And then this is all when we show adab to the Quran Sharif. We have respect and love. Allah Ta'ala increases us. And today, almost every masjid has got a Hifz class. Otherwise, before, how many Hafiz there were in the country? They weren't today. There are much more Hafiz classes than what there were Hafiz at one time. Everywhere. And the reading of the Quran Sharif. Allahu Akbar. What great standard it has come to. But at the same time, we must keep within the limits of tajweed and the laws. One article that came from UK, one alim who is complaining about the Qurra who come there. And they changed the rules of tajweed to fit in with musical tones. Because they want to impress the people. And today the achievement of a Qari is how long he can pull his breath. And then whether it's an ayat of adab also, and punishment, and severe punishment, the people start jumping in happiness. And nara ayat takbir, and everything. We mustn't lose focus. Allah has brought us a great way, but we must not lose focus also. So the love of the Quran Sharif and azmat and respect of the Quran Sharif is also something very great. If Allah wishes, we'll try and speak a bit more on that. That is also very necessary. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.